Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the last Sunday of each month from 2 to 3 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with a community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Jenny, and
Yesenia,
River,
and Henry.
We all attend Laytonville High School. Today our topic is revisioning high school. In our American educational system, we spend 4 years in high school. We attend classes for 5 days a week for about 9 months each of those years. And this is a big investment of our lives. We each have certain classes in school that we enjoy and feel enthusiastic about. We each have some classes that seem irrelevant, and we aren't sure why we need to spend our time there. High school seems to have been around for a long time. Pretty much everyone listening to the show has spent 4 years of their youth in high school. How many of the subjects you studied have turned out to be of practical use to you? In those 4 years, do you ever remember getting sleepy or wondering why what the teacher was talking about? Did you ever ask why you needed to study algebra? Did you ever ask if the stories you read in history were all true? Did any classes ever make you feel like you were being punished? Were you ever distracted while in class by another student or the sun shining outside or by a clock that hardly seemed to move? On the other hand, were there classes that seemed to end too quickly? Do you remember students discussing subjects where enthusiasm and fresh ideas popping into your head? Were there days where high school seemed like the best of all possible worlds? Did you feel like the information you just learned would serve you well for the rest of your life? 3 of us are sophomores and 1 of us is a junior at Laytonville High School. We are in the middle of this experience. What we want to discuss today is how much of the time we devote to school is efficient education. What percentage of the 30 hours a week we spend in classes and the 10 to 20 hours we spend on homework are accomplishing our educational goals? What could we do about the structure of our high school and what would improve our learning efficiency? Some schools have used block periods, that is 2-hour class sessions, to allow the teachers and students to get more involved in the subject. For some classes, this works well for most students. Classes like literature, seminar, or history. For some classes, if you get distracted or lost in the first hour, chances are that the second one won't be any better. Scheduling with block periods is more complicated for the administration and some teachers. Yet if this plan does improve the experience for the majority of students, wouldn't it be worth the effort? Some classes rely heavily on textbooks. Some classes don't have enough textbooks to allow each student to take them home. Some textbooks are really complicated for some students, despite what the publisher claims. Our school has some computers for the students to do research on, but at this point, we can't afford to just give each student a laptop. Some of the most interesting teachers we have don't use the textbooks much. I have seen what schools look like in China, and Yesenia has seen them in Mexico, and we'll discuss them a bit later. Many students and parents feel that homework assignment gets too time-consuming. What do you think about that? What happens to students who have part-time jobs? Another subject is, should school be compulsory? And there's a new rule in California that to homeschool a student, the teacher must have a credential. Laytonville is a small school like most rural schools, doesn't have the resources to offer as many specialized classes like drama, creative writing, speech, foreign languages other than Spanish, and engineering. We do have a building arts program that is very useful for students to get carpentry and construction skills. We also have a business practice class called Virtual Enterprise that gives students useful skills in businesses. But our vocational training is limited. No mechanic classes, farming, welding, or forestry. What we will discuss now are our thoughts about high school, what our choices are in our classes, how well our time is spent. We have thought a while about how school can improve and become more efficient for the students, staff, and administration. We will discuss these subjects for about 20 minutes, then open up the phone lines for your questions and insights. We are in the Willis studio, so our phone number will be 1-707-456-9991. We'll ask you to join in the discussion in about 20 minutes. Let's begin by talking about high school classes that we really enjoy, and maybe figure out why they work well for us. River, what classes do you feel exciting and look forward to?
Well, I look forward to band,
English, and biology.
For me, it's basically band, as River just now said, and geometry.
All four of us are in band, so we all enjoy it, I think. But I like physics and English.
Well, I like band, too. And I also like algebra because it's really stressful and it's hard. And so it just stretches our brains, and I like that, too. So what do you guys feel about block periods?
When I went to Portland to visit my cousin, I visited his school, which was on block periods. And it seemed to me that it gave the kids a chance to really understand each subject, because there was enough time to make sure that everyone understood the concepts. And since the kids picked their own classes, there was nobody who was unhappy with the thing in the class and got extremely bored.
Yeah. What about you, River?
It seems like you would have much more time to develop your ideas. They would go much more in depth. I think you would learn so much more. And it's not like you're pressured to the extreme to get things done in a short amount of time. Like, yeah, in biology, you get an experiment and you get a period to do it, and you most likely won't get it done until 3 days later because you don't have enough time.
Yeah, and seminars, I know in English, we have seminars on Thursdays, and it seems like right when we're getting into our discussion and it's getting really interesting, the bell rings and it's time to go. And so it'd be really nice to have a 2-hour block period for seminar, just so the discussion can carry on further.
And when you're getting really enthused about, say, reading Macbeth and acting it out, you can get almost to the end of a scene and about to the murder and the bell rings.
Yeah. So what causes stress in school for you guys?
All sorts of things. Tests. Definitely.
For me, it's mostly math because, as well as I know, I'm not very good at it. But I actually enjoy it when I understand what we're talking about.
Physics and math are stressful for me because the ideas in both are really, really huge, and you just have to think about them for a long time to understand them completely. Math, you have to get each formula memorized and make sure that you understand how to work it and make everything click.
The classes that heap loads of homework on you and like stress you out so much because you spend 4 hours of your time at home doing the work, and then the next day you get another 4 hours, and it's insane.
Yeah. Which sometimes I appreciate the homework. Like in Spanish, our teacher gives us homework, and it really, really helps me. And just because you practice it over and over, and Spanish is it's kind of hard for me. And so the homework that he gives us just really helps, and I really appreciate the homework.
They tell you to study a lot in school. Like, you have to spend a lot of your time studying subjects, but really you don't have that time that you really need. The homework is a form of studying, but sometimes it's not necessarily what you need to study.
Yeah, it also depends on if you have a job or you have other after-school activities. So it's like the homework and worrying about other things is very stressful, and sometimes people fall into depression because of it.
Mm-hmm. Homework can definitely suck up your time. If you're doing 4 hours a night, that's like 16 or 20 hours a week, and you probably get extra on weekends.
Yeah.
It just keeps going.
Yeah.
I have a class of 6 days a week. So it's stressful. I don't even get the time off that I really kind of need, but, you know, yeah.
So you have classes on Saturday too then?
Yeah.
Stressful. So, Henry, what was your Montessori school like?
I went to Montessori for kindergarten, and it seemed to me that they were a lot more hands-on, and they taught out of their heads. They didn't have a strict regimen and schedule that in, of things that they teach. They were ready to teach you something new every day and taught you about things that they thought you needed to know about. I remember my teacher telling me to go home and find him some checker lilies one day. And they were somewhere on the side of the road, and I brought them to him, and he said, good job. And I remember the asking a teacher about multiplication in kindergarten, and he said, all right, this is how it works. And he told me, and I didn't get it at all, but he was willing to show me how to do something that I thought I was ready for.
And Yessi, you've seen schools in Mexico, too, and how were they like?
Well, I really wasn't there, but from what I've heard from the people that have gone there, it is actually very strict in the schools, basically, because they give you textbooks, but they mostly write down the problems on the board and you have to figure it out by yourselves. And if you're not paying attention, well, then they smack you with a ruler just to get your attention. So you really have to be focusing in classes.
Yeah, and in China, I've been to Chinese schools, and I went to school in China for just a little bit in preschool, and everybody there is just so scared of the teachers. And my cousin, who's 6 years old, he's going to school right now, and they're already learning English as a foreign language and multiplication, and it's just his standard is just really high, and like 100% is great for him, but if he gets anything lower than that, it's like he failed. And so his standard is just so high already at 6 years old.
Especially because we were intimidated with the teachers and everything that goes on.
Yeah.
I think we're really privileged in Laytonville because we have a lot of teachers who will sit down with you and actually make it so you learn what the material, if you are willing to, after school is really great for some people, and I think that's a really cool feature of our school.
Yeah, a lot of our teachers are definitely want you to learn. It's not just that they're doing it because it's a job. They've been teaching for many years, and they still love it. My math teacher was talking about how she's retiring next year, and she's really bummed because she has so much fun with our class.
Don't do it. So do you think that textbooks really help, or should we just drop textbooks?
Some help. Some, but most we could definitely do without.
Yeah.
I mean, what is the point of textbooks, really? It's the same thing that they're going to be teaching us, except that we're going to be looking at it.
Yeah.
I think they're there partly so that each kid can have his own little copy of the information and can look at it and learn from it, and it helps them to understand. But
don't we take notes in class anyways?
I don't.
I think they're there because the California standards, it's deeply follows each standard that you're supposed to do. Like,
Yeah. I know in history, our history teacher, she has us do a little book work, but most of the time she lectures, and it's really interesting, and I learn a whole bunch more by her lecturing than I do reading in the book, and she does a lot of PowerPoints too, and they're really helpful, I think.
She also shows some videos that really, they make you understand just how important some of it is. Videos about Hitler taking Austria and what happened to the Jews and all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. So it's like we're seeing what actually happened in movies and the pictures that they show us in the PowerPoints.
Yeah.
Makes you realize just how real it was, and it's not just something that they want you to,
you know, like everything that they went through. And
especially in history textbooks, like if the history textbooks were written in America, then they're mostly biased to American point of views. And she was saying how if you go to Germany and you read textbooks from Germany, they're going to be biased towards Germany. And so textbooks, just especially history textbooks, sometimes give you the wrong point of view, or they try to brainwash you into thinking their point of way.
This is the true and the right thing.
Yeah.
Also, the best teachers usually don't teach out the book. They really catch your interest with everything that they say. It's not boring. They make it interesting for you.
Mm-hmm. For many teachers, like the textbook, if they use it, the textbook can be like their Bible, like their sanctuary practically.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, in history, like, how much of it is it true? It's like, did it really happen the way that they say it happened? Or is it just because they want us to believe that America was such a great country and so strong and powerful, but is it like really, really true?
Mm-hmm. So a new law that just came up was that people homeschooling their children had to have a teacher's credential. So what do you guys think of that?
It's ridiculous.
So why do you guys think it's ridiculous?
It's kind of, when you homeschool your children, it's not so they are with another teacher. It's usually because either you don't like the way the teachers are teaching your child, and you would like to try something out, different out, that you would think would work for your child. And honestly, lots of times you don't really need a teacher's credential to be able to use common sense.
Well, I think that it's not a good idea because, I mean, my dad builds and he's great at it. And if he took me out of school and taught me how to build, then I'd be perfectly good at building and I wouldn't need to go learn, I don't know, the history of the Spanish-American War or...
Yeah. A man who's against this said, "My stepson was homeschooled, and as were a large group of his friends, and they got nothing from it. For my ex-wife, it was a way to keep her son from getting into trouble at school. From the 9th grade on, he was homeschooled. When he graduated, he could not operate the phone book. He could not name 5 American authors or the branches of the government." And so, lots of the time, you know, homeschooling, I guess it isn't really beneficial, but lots of the time, parents know what's best for their children, too, but... You know, there's pros and cons to each.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like for like driving schools and stuff. Like, do we really need to go to a school to learn how to drive when we have our parents who drive and have a driving license? Like, do we technically have to like go to a specific school and learn how to make a stop or make left turns? Like, isn't it more simpler for our parents to teach us than to be with somebody else who might not even do it the right way or... the more safer way than what you think your parents will do.
Yeah.
It's also kind of a thing where it seems like the government or whatever wants a lot of the kids to conform and be the same as a lot of people. And it kind of taken away a lot of our freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And our creativity and our ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Making us all think the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that there's definitely a lot of writers who didn't go to high school and dropped out or went to homeschool who are extremely successful and they write great books,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't need to go to school.
There's like a whole bunch of people who haven't gone to school or gone to college, and they're like millionaires and they own big companies mm-hmm. all over the world, and even people who haven't gone to school are pretty much smart. So you don't really have to go to school to know something. Yeah, to add, multiply, divide, subtract.
Mm-hmm. And is school really preparing you for college? Like, you know, because you're going to go into a field when you're in college. And so did school actually prepare you to go to college and learn that branch?
Well, what you learn in school is practically what you learn in college. Just there's a lot more work and a lot more time that you're going to be spending on the subjects.
It gives you the mindset of, you know, go to school, get the work, do study and bring it back. But it doesn't necessarily give you the right ideas about it.
It kind of improves what you will need to do in college, like take notes or like read massive passages. It preps you for all that.
Our English teacher was telling us about needing to read 200 pages a night and saying that he had learned that about study practices where you didn't read the whole thing, you read the first and last sentence of each paragraph, and that taught you how to, it gave you all the information you needed.
Yeah, and when you graduate from high school, will you be able to get a job at more than minimum wage, and would vocational training help you have ways to make a better living?
Definitely.
Yeah.
When you got out of high school, you get out and you've just learned a whole bunch of academic things, but it hasn't taught you how to do anything. So you start looking around for someone who will teach you how to do something else, do a vocational trade. You just need to go learn more. You haven't learned how to think so much for yourself as much.
Mm-hmm. And for a lot of us, especially living out in the country, do you think like a class where it taught like landscaping or gardening skills, do you think that would be beneficial for us?
Yeah.
I think a class that taught you how to grow food or, cook, learn how to feed yourself and survive would definitely be a good class.
Yeah.
Especially with, oil running out and we are depending on shipments from different countries more. I think eventually if it does run out, we're going to need to learn how to stay home and make our own food for once.
Yeah, and also we have a program at Laytonville, a virtual enterprise, and it's a business practice, and Henry was in it. And so how do you think that prepared you for somebody who was going to go into that field?
Well, it really depended on what job you got, because when you entered into the elective, everybody got parts in a company. Everybody got a role, and there were CEOs and accountants, and you had a website, so you always had a web designer. And that, it definitely helped teach you how to do those things. So it was a pretty good practice for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What position were you?
I was an accountant.
Was that fun?
Well, I left halfway through I left after one semester. So I had started to learn it, but I had learned, how to Excel spreadsheets and how to do personal expenses, how to basically keep track of the money that you were paying to people and how to keep payments going. So that was definitely good for me. I thought that was interesting.
So do you think that homework assignments are, homework assignments are pretty time-consuming, but do you think that they help you sometimes in class?
Sometimes.
It depends what it is.
Yeah.
If it's something to keep you busy, then most likely it will not have any educational value,
mm-hmm.
because it's just kind of, not necessary.
Sometimes you just get homework that's about the same as first you get assigned the evens of one set of problems, and then you get assigned the odds, and it's repetitive. It's just to make sure that you understand the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people have already gotten it, so it doesn't help so much.
And especially like homework, it's basically work that you get to see how much you learned or what you know for the teachers to kind of teach you more about the subject in case that you need it.
I think it would be really good if, for like, say, English, if you focus more on, like, for reading creative books, like fantasy books or something like that, so it would expand our knowledge and our imagination, so when we're older, we don't lose our imagination completely, like, which tends to happen mostly. But,
science fiction probably too, also, because our science teacher told us that He's read some books where it's just really unbelievable and, like, time travel and stuff, but later on, it could be possible, and so if our minds aren't really adapted, we just won't be able to understand. And so those things are pretty interesting to read about, too.
Especially because many people who create books that we believe right now that cannot happen, maybe someone in the future or elsewhere will try to make it come true. So really our imaginations are the only thing that will help us succeed in life or try to take us to the next century.
Well, I just read a book really recently by, I think it was by Harry Harrison, but it's about two kids buying a rocket ship and starting their own business, and it's set in the future, it's sci-fi. And they learned in school, in the same amount of time we do, they've learned, like, way, way past calculus. They've learned all kinds of stuff with vectors, and so they can learn just how to pilot their ship. Huh. So it really, we need to be open to more so that we can learn enough just to cope with the technology that we're developing.
Some people I know also learn in very abstract ways. So, like if you develop that more, maybe they would be able to see things in many other ways than normal. So they would be able to understand it better if you told them something completely normal.
And especially because there are many people who are slow readers or don't get the message quite faster than many others, and to read a book that is basically based on knowledge and stuff, if they read it slowly, they're going to get bored and not read it at all. So if you make books that are exciting with adventures and many other things that we basically don't see in life, then it'll be more easier for them to get through the book.
So we're going to open up the phone lines now. Phone number is 707-456-9991. Everyone is welcome, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth, their parents, and concerned friends in the listening audience. Please call in if you have any questions or insights about high school education. What works well and what is a drain on everyone? Are some subjects irrelevant? Which high school classes did you enjoy taking that have served you well as an adult? Do you think more practical classes like vocational subjects would be a good direction to move high schools in? Do you think that there is too much homework? Did you ever not read a book you were assigned in high school? What do you think of the textbooks? Do you think block periods would be an improvement? If you could change high school to make it better, what would you do? Do you think that it is right for the state of California to ban homeschooling unless the teacher has a credential? What high school teacher really inspired you? The phone number is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio, or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 707-456-9991. Please call and be a part of the discussion. We'd really like to hear from you. So, do you think that stress and do you think that there's a lot of distractions in school?
There definitely are a lot of distractions in school. Not just subjects and not understanding something, but also other people can drive you nuts.
Like those who don't want to actually be in school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what classes increased your creativity?
English definitely increases your creativity, I think, because they just introduce you to so many new things by making you read books that you've never heard of or never even thought about. When I read Catch-22, it definitely made me think a lot.
Yeah. And so, caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to thank you for this great show and weigh in about the homeschooling issue. My children were both homeschooled. Most of their education was homeschooled. They did go back into the Mendocino school system for a while and ended up graduating out of community school. And both of them, you know, had great educations. And one of them ended up by being a neurobiologist and winning a MacArthur Award. So certainly the issues about whether someone could get a good education being homeschooled, it depends upon what that home is like, what the people are like that are teaching the kids. But it's a very useful and I think fits the needs of individual students. And the idea that you have to have a credential is ridiculous, because an education doesn't come with a teaching credential. It comes from learning, life learning, books you've read, experiences, etc. So that's what I wanted to say, and I just really love hearing all of you guys give your opinions. It's great to hear. It's very refreshing.
Thank you.
Did you have a college education?
I do.
That's good.
I have a bachelor's degree in English and classics, and I also went on and got an MFA.
Wow.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
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 Yeah, and I really appreciated her calling in, because this shows lots of the times that, you know, parents know what's best for their children. And so once again, the phone number is 707-456-9991. We really appreciate your calls.
You know what's one of my questions? It's like, how much of our high school time will we really need?
Mm-hmm. Like, you mean like what classes are really needed and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, caller, you're on the air.
Hi there. I was wondering, to present an alternate view. I don't know that you could practice law without passing certain tests, or medicine legally. Why should teaching be any different? And I'll take your comments off the air. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a good point of view, because lots of the time parents, you know, they want to teach their children, but sometimes their children can't be taught at home.
That's a good point.
I also think that, like, for law and things like that, if they pursued it deeply, and then they would probably would end up going to school.
Mm-hmm. If you really wanted to be a lawyer, you would end up going to the law college anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And wow. So what about this is really interesting. What about the brain glue memory, where somebody can look at a page and memorize it, and then they can read it back in their mind? Like, that's pretty interesting.
That's definitely a big asset in school, because it'll let you remember whatever you need to know.
Yeah, caller, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Good afternoon. It's a great program. I have a whole gamut of energy I'd like to know about in your school. First of all, are you continuously tested? Do you, with federal funding, do you have to take tests? Second of all, are you encouraged to look for scholarships to see what it is you want to do and what's out there to get, you know, money to pay for it? And thirdly, how's the sex education? Is it abstinence only? Is there sex education? Do you think that should be addressed? And depression among kids, I don't know if schools are still grouping, and some kids are just sort of left by the wayside. So I'd be really interested to hear what you say, and I'll listen off air. Thank you.
Thank you. So, for tests, yeah, there's, especially for sophomores, I think the sophomore year is the hardest. You have the KC test, and then you have the ACT and the plan test and PSATs, and then the STAR test in the spring. So there's a whole bunch of tests that the state wants to give you.
Especially the exit exam that we have to pass, or else we cannot graduate.
Yeah.
Some of them are unfair, because when you are taking a test, I know for some people, sometimes we get a complete mind breakdown, so we can't think. Mm-hmm. I know lots of people could be perfectly suited to pass a test and have all the knowledge, but they're just so stressed out because there's been so much stress placed on tests that they kind of break out.
Mm-hmm. And also for, like, specifically the KC exam, we usually get the English and the math versions, and for me it was really easy to pass the English version, but for the math it was actually very difficult that I actually had to retake it this year, and hopefully I pass it.
Yeah. So what about our scholarship program? Like, have any of you guys applied for scholarships yet? I know it's kind of early. What about you, Jesse, since
no,
you're a junior?
Applied.
not yet.
I know that they were, that Miss McHenry gave, I think she had, she talked, she required all the juniors to attend and talked with them about what scholarships were offered just in the community.
Yeah, I know there's the Lions Club Speech Contest, and that's kind of a scholarship program, and both ESE and I did that. And so that's a scholarship program for anybody who's in AP English, and so that's pretty neat, too.
And in art, we just did a project where we were supposed to make a poster, and it was about why we should go to college, and the winner won some certain amount of money. I think that's a really cool program.
Like right now I'm trying to run for a poetry contest, which is you make a poem and it has to be at least 20 sentences, I think. I'm not sure. And if you win, you get at least $500,000. And if you don't, you get visas and with money in it. But it depends. If you're the first winner, like you're the main winner, you get $500,000, and if you're like the second, third, fourth that was nominated, you get visas with money in it. So it's actually a really good scholarship.
Who's that open to?
It's basically, it says the American Poet.
Hmm. Did you do that through school or?
Yeah, it's through school.
Cool.
For people in from 10th or is it 9th grade to 12th?
Oh, awesome. So, what about sex education? I don't think we actually have a class on sex education, but...
They have, I think, two, three, or four days every year where you take one period or two periods and go and you learn. They make sure that you know what you need to know.
Mm-hmm. I think it's one for every quarter, maybe, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
We've had quite a bit.
Yeah. I know lots of people from the health clinic, too, come down and talk, or the resource center in Ukiah, they come down and talk to us about healthy relationships, too. And I think that's important, especially when you're a teenager.
And I don't know exactly what the Young Women's Club is about, but I assume, I don't know, I think they talk about that a little.
Wait, are you in the Young Women's Club?
I once was, and in the Young Women's Club, we actually speak about problems that we have had, either in relationships or at home or in other experiences that we've had. So Women Club is just, we talk about our problems and we just can, like, relieve our anger or pain that we have.
Mm-hmm. So the other point that the lady, she brought up was depression. So I know we discussed that briefly, but, like, do you guys sometimes feel depressed with all the homework?
I feel held down, yeah. It's not really depressed, but it's more like a certain stress that just drives me up the wall.
Like, last year when I was a sophomore, I actually fell into depression, and I really didn't feel like being around in the world because I was failing in practically every single subject and my grade wouldn't go up. And I'm actually a AB student, and like that was the first year I've actually had all Fs and I didn't know what to do.
Wow. Do you think that stress is beneficial to us? I know that when I'm working, I usually work better in a really stressful environment because I feel that I have to finish and I have to... You know, I have time limits and stuff, and so I actually work better in stress. But what about you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Depends.
I know if I have a huge project that is due, I usually kind of leave it to the last minute, and then I end up getting good grades anyway. Because you work super fast, and you have all this sudden... this big insight of what your project's going to be like or something. But that's just me.
Yeah, the way it's spread out over several days, it kind of makes you get a thought, and then you have to, the bell rings, and you have to go do six other classes, and then you come back, and you start trying to remember what you were thinking about, and it kind of breaks it up.
Yeah. That's another thing. For block classes, which would be nice, because We just focus on one or two subjects each day. And so we don't really, you know, forget what we were listening or working on. And so
we actually have more time to do our work and finish it all. We don't have to have, like, that pressure of, okay, we have to get it done. We have to do it.
And so, once again, our phone number is 707-456-9991.
So, it seems like schools really don't focus on the individual person enough. They focus on people as a whole and learning the same thing and kind of a machine, I guess you could call it. It kind of one moving towards the bright light at the end of your career. And
caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to thank you all because you're really doing a fabulous job, and I'm very inspired by all of you. I'd like to hear each of your individual voices say, if you could change one thing or 10 things about how you're being educated or what you think is really missing, I'd like to hear that voice. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank you. Well, that's a hard question, but I think one of the things that would be nice would be, let's see, for English, we have, our English teacher always gives us so many great books, but for us to have a list of books that we could choose from. Yeah, and so what about you, Yessi?
For me, I would actually have to change the work because the teachers really have to kind of give us a break. So we're at school practically 8 hours a day, and then we have to go to work, and we get at least a minimum of 1 hour of homework from each class that we have, unless you have a study period or a PE. And it's just, like, very stressing to have four classes that are very important, and we can't really get through them.
I'd have more classes that teach you things that you actually want to learn.
Yeah, I'd want it to offer more variety in what you could. I'd want you to pick your own classes and not have a certain amount of things that you have to learn. I'd want to be able to just learn what I felt like learning. It's like you can make your own major in college, I think. And it'd be cool to be able to study what you wanted to study in high school, so you could be ready for that if you wanted to make your own.
Once again, our hosts are me, Jenny.
Me, Yesenia.
River.
And Henry.
Oh, and caller, you're on the air.
Hi. If I hadn't retired about 4 years ago, I'd have probably been your English teacher. I'm Bruce Brady. I used to teach at Laydonville. And I wonder if you guys could talk about, just because I used to be an English teacher, I wonder what you're reading these days and how that connects with life as you perceive it from Laydonville.
In our class, our English teacher assigned us Catch 22, and since we're in a war right now, it really helped us learn just how complicated and crazy and ridiculous war is.
In our English class, we just read two books, Lord of Flies and All Quiet on the Western Front. Both told us about humanity and how different and crazy it can be sometimes.
We were reading a Steinbeck book, and I actually enjoyed it because it was teaching us how it happened in the 1920s when the Depression hit. And I believe that if it were to occur again, that would actually have taught us more about how to survive during it.
So if you were still a teacher, what kind of material or books would you assign?
those are all great books. I would say probably take a look in the book room in the English room there, because most of those books were what I used. We read just a lot of stuff. We read Barbara Kingsolver novels, and we read the journals of Lewis and Clark, and we read all kinds of stuff. It's too many to think of. But I think key to the whole thing is seminaring. And you guys still do that, I hear. And that's I was lucky enough. We had block periods at the seminar, and so we had plenty of time. And it's a lot to cram a good seminar into one class period, as you know.
Mm-hmm. So would you recommend the block periods?
Well, it's a mixed bag. I think they work extremely well for seminars. In a regular standard English period without seminaring, two periods is a long go. And if you're taking like in a math class or something, that's a tough go too. Mm-hmm. It's really difficult to mix them and have block periods and single periods at the same time. So it's a tough go. There are good things and bad things either way. It's another example of life is not as simple as it should be. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you guys are doing a great job. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, that's a good point, because it's nice to hear from someone, you know, who worked in a block period. And so, once again, our phone number is 707-456-9991. We really appreciate your calls.
So what do you guys think about the block periods?
Well, I guess for some periods they would be all right. Overall, for periods like math or even history or anything like that, it would be really excessive, maybe.
It actually give us more time, especially for people who are in physics or calculus and AP English or government and stuff.
If we went to block periods, we'd need to get more diversity in our classes so that people would be happy with the classes they had and wouldn't just get bored and think it was crazy to have 2 hours of a class you hate.
Mm-hmm. And it would actually really be nice, because if we had a block period, then maybe we would have like a very difficult class and go into a study period and still have all the work fresh in our minds, and it would be more easier for us to do the work if they had given us any homework.
And you'd have a longer study period to do it in.
Yeah. So, caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm sort of the opposite of young, but I'm always intrigued with your program and have heard it before. So, one, I'm responding to your enthusiasm and your interest in what you're doing. I wanted to follow up a little bit with someone asked, if you could change things, what would you change? And most of you, well, I just wondered if there was anything more you'd change. And then my own question, coming from a time in school when it wasn't quite as flexible, I'll put it that way, even prior to the 50s is when I went to school. What relevance do you have any time to talk about the relevance of things in the world, politics, and I know you talked about the war from the aspect of some of your English books, but anyway, I just want to say thanks for your eagerness to participate in a program like this. That's about it.
So how many of the subjects when you were in high school did you study turn to be of practical use to you?
Very few. I don't know the difference of my time in school, but what I like is it seems a very evaluative way all of you have of what's going on. At my time, I don't know, I did what I was supposed to. I sat down. I walked when I was supposed to walk. I just had no questions at all. So that's why I feel sometimes like, even though I'm old, that I'm practically starting all over again, because everything seems so different. And the way the things are now, even though it's a bad, very bad world, that this chances for you guys to question and do so many things on a computer. You evidently have wonderful teachers at your school.
Yes.
In my day, to show you way back, the teachers could not even be married.
Oh.
We had to call them Miss, and there were very few men teachers.
Wow. I didn't know.
Do you have any other question? Because I'll be glad to get off and let somebody else get on.
Well, thank you for your input.
Thank you for your call. I appreciate
thank you.
It.
Good inquiring mind, Miss Hostess. You do very well. Goodbye.
Thank you. Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. Great show. I wondered if you'd respond to the sort of criticism of the U.S. high school system that I ran into when I was in university and graduate school from international students. One, for example, was from Japan, had done a one-year exchange to here in the United States during high school and felt like that had really set him back because the academics weren't rigorous enough, there wasn't enough homework. Where he was going to school, you know, you'd go all week and then you'd take other classes on the weekend that would help prepare you because they say, hey, this is an international world. You're mm-hmm. going to have to compete with everybody else from other countries who's working much harder mm-hmm. than many of the students do here in this country.
Mm-hmm.
There certainly are students working very hard, but the general curriculum level is significantly lower than many other parts of the world, students from Korea that I would meet, you know, many countries. And their feeling was that our universities were great. They liked being here mm-hmm. for our universities with the type of education you got there. But they felt at the high school that there were so many remedial classes that were full of American students that hadn't learned the stuff in high school mm-hmm. that they needed in order to be able to compete on a university level. And I just wonder how you feel about that as you look around the world, or if you have, on what other students are doing that you're going to have to compete with. I mean, even with peak oil, you know, there's yeah. still going to be international ties. It's not like we're going to go back to the Stone Age immediately, you know. So it's a real consideration in terms of how you're going to compete with international students that are studying incredibly hard. Mm-hmm. At graduate school, when I'd go to the library, top three floors would all be full of students, foreign students. Mm. There'd be almost no one there from the United States.
Yeah. Do you think that standards in America for education have been dropping over the past years?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
In some areas, you know, you can go to schools that are really dialed in schools and it's good, but other schools you go to, you know, you go to South Central or you go to some of these areas, there's not even textbooks in a lot of the classrooms. It's crazy. You know, and there's no distribution of, you know, just because an area is wealthy does not mean that that's where all your smart kids are. Your smart mm-hmm. kids are pretty much an even distribution through your population.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, you know, we are basically missing a lot of our best and brightest.
Mm-hmm. Do the international students have time to be creative?
Well, I guess it depends on how you define creative. I mean, the guy that I knew from Japan was building robots. He was going to Carnegie Mellon University. You know, he was doing incredible things. So he thought he was creative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what standard you use to define creativity. But, mm-hmm. you know, he certainly felt like he was doing things. I mean, you know, he played in a band and He was building robots, you know. Hey, you know, that sounds pretty creative to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and they work really, really hard.
Yeah.
Do you think it's kind of the way we're raised? The modern American is kind of degressing, or they don't have as much intellect as earlier on the little kids in China do, they're raised, yeah.
If you are raised to study hard, I've walked into houses where they were immigrant teachers, I mean immigrant parents who were not well educated, but who valued education very hard, highly.
Mm-hmm.
See, the older
mm-hmm.
student, the parent would be standing there, didn't know what the kids were actually having to learn. Maybe their English skills weren't so good. But they're standing there making sure that the older kid is tutoring the younger kid, who then tutors the kid that was younger than that. It's really amazing, the emphasis and the limitations on things like television time,
mm-hmm.
surfing the internet, just screwing around time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so easy to waste time doing those things
mm-hmm.
that it doesn't matter if everyone just gets to skip through the meadow, you know, playing with the butterflies. But if you have to compete, you know, if you've ever done the athletics or something, you understand that competition, if you aren't prepared, you aren't going to do good. And it's the same thing in the world as we face it. I think that we do a lot of kicking back with our feet up on the desk around in this country, and we've been able to get away with that. We have a huge military, and we have a lot of natural resources. But we're starting to run to into the useful end of those things.
So we're starting to have to, like, buck up and do stuff.
It's time to look around at the rest of the world and say, well, what do we really have to do when we aren't the world's biggest exporter of oil anymore, which we used to be?
Yeah.
We can't even supply our own needs now. So, okay, I don't want to dominate all your time, but it's just something to think about.
Oh, well, thank you, Colin.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That was a good point. I know my cousin in China, she's going to Cambridge now, and she had her high school education in China, and so it's just like they chose five people from Cambridge to go on this international trip, I think, and she was, you know, one of the five that got to go, and they were mostly all you know, foreign. They weren't from America, or they weren't from England, and so, you know, it kind of shows in the world.
In Mexico, from what I've seen, is that many students actually have the choice to either go to school or not to go to school. And many of the Mexican immigrants that are here, they don't have the proper education, because in Mexico, you actually have to pay for your books, your pencils, your schools, your uniform. And it's actually very difficult. And many of the students that have actually been taught in Mexico are very, very smart and intelligent, that many of the Americans here who need surgery or anything go to the doctors now in Mexico than they get it from here. Because here, many people don't actually learn the proper things to do to get a doctor certificate or something. And they actually don't really know or can help the patient as much as they should be.
I also think here's one thing I would like to change about school, but it's not probably going to happen. I think the state usually kind of interferes a lot. I think the standards for how much you should have of each subject should not really exist, except for if you want pure electives, that shouldn't be all right. But if it's, sorry.
I mean, it also is based on, because River made a good point, and what does the state have to do with the education that we're getting? Because really, it's based on what the teachers think that we have to learn, not on what the government or anybody wants us to learn. So technically, they shouldn't be putting their nose into what we have to do. And
the colleges, teachers have been to the colleges before. They know what you need to be able to succeed in the real world. I mean, they're teachers, so they would have had to go through colleges. And it seems like the state and the country now do not trust teachers as much as they should.
And really, is that the reason why many students want to be homeschooled? Maybe that's their point, that the state interferes a lot with what the school has to be teaching us.
Once again, our phone number is 707-456-9991. Going back to the previous caller, her question was relevance of things in the war. Like, are we learning about real life stuff that's going to, you know, happen in real life? Oh, caller, you're on the air.
Hello there.
Hello.
Have I got you?
Yes.
Yes.
Hang on just a second. Yeah. Okay, do you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
I always wanted to refer back to the student that said that he should only have to take classes that he wanted to take. That, to me, would create an absolute mishmash of classes with everybody having just what they want, 200 kids in a school, mm-hmm. where are you going to get the teachers to teach all? There has to be some order. You can't have complete chaos in the class. It just doesn't work that way. Yeah. And besides having, I feel, they have really need to have a basic education to survive in the world, just like the young man behind me was saying about competing with the rest of the world. So I'd like to see what the young man said who said he should only have classes that he wants to have.
How many of the subjects you studied turned out to be of practical use to you? Hello? Well, missed him.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then really, if we were to get a proper education instead of choosing the classes that we wanted to take, would we be learning information that we basically don't need? Like, why not learn what we want to pursue, our career? What career do we want to choose? People can get into history or law and stuff if they want to be a lawyer, or if they want to be a teacher and a math teacher, they should be basically learning about math and other types of information instead of learning English, science, history, language, different languages, instead of learning what we want to learn. So I think, I really do believe that we should choose the classes that we want to take.
Yeah.
That's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Henry, Jenny, River, and Yesenia. Thanks to our callers. One of the purposes of this show is to involve the community in dialogue, so your call-ins have been important to us. We're happy to have been able to broadcast from the Willett studio. Youth Speaks Out is produced in cooperation with HALT, Healthy Activities for Laytonville Teens. HALT is a project designed by Laytonville's Healthy Start program. The project is creating many alternative activities for teens in our community. For more information, please contact Healthy Start at 984-8089 or visit their website at www.laytonville.org/healthystart.html. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of the show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. That's www.youthspeaksout.net. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX&Z. They are the views of those who express them. Our next show will be on the last Sunday of April, the 27th at 2 p.m. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next month.